Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down UFC Washington, D.C., and also we'll take any questions you guys have, so feel free to throw some questions in the chat. We'll definitely answer them before the end of the show. We're here for at least, you know, the next 45 minutes or so, if not longer, so feel free to send in any questions you guys may have. Cole, how's it going, man? I know it's kind of been a tough week for you. If you want to talk about any of that stuff, feel free to. If you don't, no worries, but the floor is yours, buddy.
Yeah, it's been rough. Like, a bunch of us got let go for Sure Dog. There's like probably 10 of us. It's all like budget, and there's a new California law that's coming in, so they're all trying to work around it, but it is what it is. Just keep grinding, BJ Penn, MMA News, and everywhere else.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like I said, I'll try to see what I can do for you myself, man. You know, it's a tough business. Our friend James did a pretty good podcast this week, just talking about the business itself, and it's definitely a tough business. You know, personally, I've been doing this since 2011, so it's been almost 10 years. I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, the years go by really fast. I love what I do, but I'm very fortunate because it's very, very difficult to get a job, I think, especially now. There's so many free agents now, so, and there's only so many spots, Cole. So it's a really tough business. I think both of us are just thankful we do have work right now. It's, like I said, it's a very, very tough industry. For anyone starting out, I mean, I couldn't even imagine how difficult it would be to get a paying gig at this point. You know, I think I was lucky because I got into it at a really early stage in the sports life, but people getting into it now, it must be tough. So just want to mention off the bat, I feel bad for all those guys that, you know, obviously lost their job, but it is part of the business. Unfortunately, it's the sad part of the business. It happened to me. I remember getting the phone call from The Score back in 2012. I woke up one morning and I got let go, and I was like crushed because it honestly was my dream job at the time. So I was just absolutely crushed, but it worked out okay over the years, you know. So Cole, you'll be all right, buddy. Everything's going to work out fine for you and to the other guys too as well. But definitely a tough time. But I want to mention off the bat. All right, so let's get into UFC Washington, D.C. Pretty good card, Cole. I think there's 12 fights in the card. Just overall thoughts on it while I set up the card.
Yeah, it's an okay card. I thought it'd be a bit better for the final ESPN one of the year. Bit like disappointing these big ESPN cards. I thought they'd be a lot better than what they have been. I thought just on ESPN, you're going to get a lot of viewers. Obviously, Overeem Harris would have been a great main event until obviously the tragic news of Anaya Blanchard and Walt Harris's stepdaughter. Rosenstruck stepping in, that's good. I don't really get why Khabib Rodriguez is the co-main event. I think there's a lot better fights in that one, but still a good fight. But there is some good names. Prelims have some good names, good up-and-coming prospects, so it should be a good card all around.
Yeah, it looks okay to me. Definitely, I think lacking in the big names. Main event, I guess, has some big names. But overall, I think it probably could use some more star power, Cole. But there were so many cards, I think, and the UFC just had a hard time kind of filling it with bigger names. So it is what it is. But we're looking ahead to 2020 schedule. We'll talk about it throughout the show. We'll actually later on in the show after we break down the card. There's some really big fights coming up next year. So we'll get to those later, but I want to get to UFC Washington, D.C. first. All right, first up, first fight of the night, middleweight bout. Trevor Smith against Makhmed Muradov. The opening odds had Muradov minus 260, Smith plus 200. Right now we have Muradov minus 420, Smith plus 335. Who's your pick?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because Trevor Smith was moving up in weight. He's going to go to light heavyweight. He was supposed to fight Nogueira. Nogueira got hurt. Then he's supposed to fight Menafield, and Menafield got hurt. So he's jumping back down to middleweight. I just haven't been too impressed with Smith the last two performances. Lost to Zach Cummins and Elias Theodoro. Muradov obviously had that debut win over Alessio Dechirko. I like Muradov here. I think he's just going to grind out a decision win. I think this is going to be the final fight of Trevor Smith in the UFC.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's weird seeing that Smith kind of isn't bouncing back. I'm just going to double check to make sure that we're sure it's a middleweight, right?
Like,
I'm just gonna
check. It's what UFC has.
Yeah, okay. I was just actually on their website right now. I can't find it, but I don't like their website very much. They have it at 185, huh? So, all right, there we go. That's what it is. I mean, that's kind of strange. Actually, Cole, it says light heavyweight on the UFC's website, so I'm 100% sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does say light heavyweight.
Yeah, so it actually might be a light heavyweight fight, guys. Tapology says 185. I think no one's really sure, but Trevor Smith was supposed to fight Little Nog and Menafield at light heavyweight, and Muradov's taking a short notice. So actually, Cole, it might be a light heavyweight. But to me, that, you know, we have to mention that, but I don't think it changes the way the fight goes. Trevor Smith is a guy that I'm shocked has hung on to the roster this long, to be completely honest. This is a guy that came over from Strikeforce. He was not impressed with Strikeforce. He has not been impressed in the UFC. The only fight he had that I even remember was the Ed Herman fight. That was a great fight back in 2013. He actually lost that fight. And since then, he's been just in a bunch of fights where they're just not memorable. Like, they all go to decision. He usually loses the decisions. He's a guy with very little finishing ability. He has some submissions, but that's it. No striking whatsoever. And his chin's not very good either. So this guy is a lot older for this division. How old is he? 38. So he's getting up there in age. And then he takes on Meridov here. Again, short notice for Meridov, but this guy's an absolute monster. 23-6, only 29. He's part of Floyd Mayweather's stable, Cole. So I think he's the only MMA fighter under Floyd Mayweather's money team. And this kid is good, man. Look at his record. He's on, what, a 10-fight win streak? Something like that, 13 fights? It's crazy. Like, he's on an incredible win streak. It's actually 11 fights. So he's been on a tear. He picked up a nice win over Dechirico in his debut. He also has a couple other UFC veterans on his resume, including Alberto Udo, Wendell Oliveira, a couple other guys. So this kid is incredible. He wins for sure. The question is, Cole, does he win by stoppage or by decision? I know that Smith's been going to decision, but I actually think Meridov is going to knock him out. So my pick would be Meridov by knockout. The prop on him winning inside distance is plus 140. I think there is value there because I do think he finishes this fight. That's my pick here, Cole. I'm pretty confident in Meridov winning this fight. I just don't have much faith in Trevor Smith. Next up, we have a women's strawweight bout between Verna Jandiroba and Mallory Martin. The opening odds had Jandiroba minus 155, Martin plus 115. Jandiroba minus 265. My long-lost cousin, Mallory Martin, plus 225 are the current odds. Who's your pick?
Yes, obviously, Martin's taking this fight on short notice. Jandiroba was supposed to face Souza, and then it was going to be Courtney Casey. So Martin had a good performance in the contender series. I thought you could have signed her. They decided to pass on her. She went back to Invicta, picked up a win, and then they signed here short notice. I'm picking Jandiroba here. I just like her experience. I know she lost to Esparza. But Esparza just basically out-wrestled her. I don't think Martin's going to be able to do that to her. She has good wins over Invicta. She was the former strawweight champ. I think it's good Martin's in the UFC now. I think she probably belonged. I would have liked to see her probably get one more fight in Invicta before she came, but I think Jandiroba is going to edge out a decision win here.
Yeah, this is definitely a close fight. I think it's a bit closer than the current odds indicate. I think Martin is decent. She looked okay in the contender series for sure, but, you know, looking at it, Cole, like, I was thinking about taking Martin as a dog here, going for the upset, but honestly, like, the level of competition is so far skewed in Jandiroba's favor. Like, even the fight with Esparza, I know she lost that fight, but the fact she fought a former champion in her debut and was able to go the distance, that's good experience. She has some good wins, like Morandin, that's a solid win in Invicta. Mizuki anyway is a really good fighter, so she's also fought some other fighters as well earlier in her career that are decent. So to me, just the level of competition is the difference here. I know Martin's on a nice win streak right now. She's a bit younger, and her losses are to solid fighters too. But to me, the level of experience is going to play a factor here, Cole. My pick is going to be Jandiroba to win the decision. I don't like the odds, though. I think it's a little too high, personally, minus 265, but I do think she wins this fight. Next up, we have Matt Wyman take on Joe Selecki in a lightweight bout. Matt Wyman, another fight for him. He took like 5 years off, and now he's back, and this is his second fight this year, so kind of crazy for him. But Joe Selecki minus 180, Wyman plus 150. Those are the opening odds. And currently we have Joe Selecki is a minus 320 favorite, Matt Wyman plus 260. Who's your pick?
I like Joe Selecki here. Matt Wyman showed nothing against Luke Payne. Yeah, I'm surprised he's back. And this soon, only 6 months, and he was beat down that fight. It was not like, and Joe Selecki obviously coming off a good submission over James Wallace, who's a tough guy in the contender series. I think Selecki's just going to get this fight down to the ground and probably submit Matt Wyman, if not ground and pound him out. I don't really give Matt Wyman a chance here. Just from what I've seen, I just have to fade him a lot. And I think Selecki's one of the better guys. They did sign off the contender series, so I'll take Selecki by stoppage here.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to be like a hypocrite, because if you look, like, the last fight I was saying that Jandiroba, the experience is her advantage, and that's why I'm picking her. But in this case, obviously, Wyman's experience in the UFC is like far, far above what Selecki has. He doesn't have any fights in the UFC. The difference is Jandiroba is still like in her far out of his prime, no, 36 years old, but he's like an older 36. Like, the amount of damage he took in that Pena fight was honestly frightening. That was after a 5-year layoff. This guy, at one point in time, Cole, and this was maybe a little bit before your time, buddy, because I know you're a bit younger back then, but this guy in the like late 2000s was on an absolute tear. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch. He's been in so many good fights, like really underrated fighter throughout his career, been in so many fight of the nights. Great fighter at one point, but at this point in time, 2019, I don't know why he came back. I didn't like how he looked against Pena. Getting finished in the third round like that was frightening because he took a ton of damage. That referee should have stopped that fight way sooner. So this guy's an automatic fade. I don't even I'm not even that high on Joe Selecki, to be honest with you. I know he did look pretty good in the fight with James Wallace. He's on a 3-fight win streak. I'm not super high on this guy, though. Like, I don't think he's some crazy good prospect or anything. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I think he wins. Like, I just can't see Matt Wyman winning. The odds are a little high. Would have obviously loved to have him at minus 180. The opener was way too low. But minus 320, it's a little high. I still think he wins, though, Cole. So my pick is Joe Selecki. The question is, does he win by stoppage or decision? Tough to say. Matt Wyman's obviously very, very durable. But the last fight showed that I think he can be finished, especially with a guy with a good gas tank. So it's possible he gets stopped later in the fight. But either way, I think Joe Selecki wins this fight in pretty dominant fashion. And honestly, this will probably be the last fight in Matt Wyman's career. I could not see him getting another fight in the UFC gets finished again. Next up, we have a really good featherweight bout here, Cole, between Bryce Mitchell and Matt Sales. I like this fight. The opening odds have Bryce Mitchell minus 185, Sales plus 160. Right now we have Sales minus 115, Bryce Mitchell minus 105, so a slight lean towards Sales and odds. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a really good fight. I think this is kind of the UFC seeing which featherweight prospect is going to get that next push and maybe ranked opponent next. Bryce Mitchell's looked very impressive coming off that win over Bobby Moffitt. Matt Sales coming off the win over Kyle Nelson. I like Bryce Mitchell, though, here. I think he's just shown more in his career. I think his cardio's impressive. He has a good ground game, a lot of submission wins. Matt Sales is a good ground and pound, so it's going to be interesting to see if Mitchell wants to take it down to the ground because he could get ground pound here by Sales, but I think Mitchell's the better fighter all around. I think he might be able to pull off a submission win, but I'll think it's going to go the distance. I think Mitchell's going to edge out a decision win.
I like Mitchell, too. To be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that the odds have kind of went towards Sales. People obviously have more faith in him, but I do think Mitchell is going to win this fight. I've been a little bit more impressed with him than Matt Sales. He's been a little more consistent in the UFC. Obviously, he's unbeaten. He did lose on the Ultimate Fighter, but as a pro, he's undefeated in three-round fights. So he had that nice win over Bobby Moffitt in his last fight. Also, beat Tyler Diamond. I've been impressed, Cole. Like, he's a fun guy. He's got good interviews, too. He's got a good personality. 25 years old, so I think Thug Nasty's got a pretty good bright future in the sport. Matt Sales is solid, too. 25-82 record. He's solid for sure, but you know, the fight with Shane Marais, he obviously lost that fight. Didn't look good in that fight. In the Kyle Nelson fight, he did win that fight, but it wasn't the greatest performance I think he's had. So I like Bryce Mitchell, Cole. I think as a dog, there is value on Bryce Mitchell, so that'd be my pick here. Obviously, we both like Bryce Mitchell as an underdog, so definitely keep an eye on this guy because I think at underdog odds, there is some value there. Next up, another featherweight bout here between Billy Quarantillo and Jacob Kilburn. The opening odds have Quarantillo minus 230, Kilburn plus 170. Right now, we have Quarantillo minus 300, Kilburn plus 250. And Kilburn is filling in on short notice for the injured Chris Fishgold. He's making his UFC debut. Who's your pick here? Actually, both guys are making their debuts, but Quarantillo was on Contender Series. Go ahead, Cole.
Yeah, Kilburn was on the Contender Series in 2018, too. Lost to Bobby Moffitt. Yeah. So, and he picked up two wins, two knockouts in island fights, two quick knockouts. And obviously, I favor Quarantillo just because he had the full camp. He was preparing for Chris Fishgold, which is kind of a different style because Fishgold would want to take it down to the ground. Kilburn's guy is going to keep it standing, so I wonder how much that's going to impact it. I like Quarantillo here, but I don't like him at that odds. I don't think this is a fight you bet on, but I'll pick Quarantillo by decision.
Yeah, I lean towards Quarantillo too. Like you said, the full camp, Kilburn taking the fight in very short notice, like a week's notice, 2 weeks notice, something like that. Very short notice. Quarantillo looked really good against Kirk on the Contender Series. I know that Kilburn's looked pretty good in his last few fights. Island fights is a decent promotion as well, so not a bad promotion to get some wins in, but Quarantillo, more experience. He was on the Ultimate Fighter a few years ago as well. Didn't work out for him, but the guy is, I think, a pretty solid fighter. And Cole, he does have a really notable win here over Common Worthy, who just picked up that nasty knockout win over Devontae Smith. So that's a nice win looking back on it. Worthy looked really good in his debut. So I think that Quarantillo wins this fight probably. The odds are a little bit too high, in my opinion, right now, but he should win this fight. I think the odds would have been better at the opener, but minus 300 is a little high. I still think he wins. Next up, I like this fight a lot. One of my favorites of all time, Tim Means taking on Thiago Alves. You know, welterweight bouts, great matchup here, Cole. Tim Means open minus 160, Alves open plus 130. Right now we have Tim, their dirty bird Means, minus 265, Thiago Pitbull Alves plus 225. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I like Tim Means in here. I just haven't been impressed with Thiago Alves. To me, Thiago Alves is on a 4-fight losing streak. I don't think he won that Max Griffin fight at all. Lawrence Terpoli didn't look good against Kuchenko. He got dominated. Millender got knocked out. Tim Means obviously is coming off that brutal knockout loss to Nico Price, where he, like, that was the one where he broke his leg, right? Yeah.
It was bad.
And before that beat Ricky Rainey. Split decision losses to Sergio Moraes and Bilal Muhammad. Those aren't bad losses, especially Bilal Muhammad losing by split. This is going to be a striking contest, I think. And I think Tim Means is the better strike here. I think he might be able to knock out Alves, but Alves has shown he has a good chin as of late, so I'll have to take Means by decision.
Yeah, I think this could be fight of the night. Two guys, they're going to stand and bang. I don't see this fight going to the ground. I think someone's going to probably get knocked down. I think it could be Alves. I know he's been pretty durable throughout his career, Cole, but I just feel like with Tim Means' precision and his power, he could touch Thiago Alves on the chin and put him out cold. And also, like, the length and reach really are Tim Means' favor here. You know, he hasn't had exactly the career I've kind of hoped of Tim Means. Like, I really thought he could be a title contender at one point because of that striking ability, but obviously too many holes in this game. Having said that, though, Cole, he's still extremely dangerous. I know he's coming off the nasty locker loss to Price. I don't think that's that bad of a loss, like, to a great fighter Price, though. And Alves, you know, he's been losing the guy. Like, actually, his losses aren't that bad either. Millinger's a good fighter. Pachanko's good. But the Storopoli fight, Cole, he finally showed his age in that fight, and I wasn't impressed. So this guy's 36 now. I think he is getting up there in age, and I think he's kind of nearing the end of his career. He's had a great career, possible Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Like, he really was one of the best welterweights in the world for, like, 10 years. But I think at this point in time, this is a bad matchup for him. So my pick is Tim Means. I do think he knocks out Thiago Alves, and I'm looking forward to this fight because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Next up, this is another good fighter, Cole. A bantamweight bout between prospects, or I wouldn't say prospects, they're contenders at this point. Rob Font, Ricky Simon, opening odds, Rob Font minus 160, Ricky Simon plus 130. Right now we have Rob Font minus 135, Ricky Simon plus 115. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a really good way to open the main card. What a good fight this is. It's interesting because Font obviously looked so good in his last fight, but he dominates Sergio Pettis, but Pettis looked was way too small on that, so I don't think he'll be able to use that wrestling and dominate Simone like that. Simone, obviously, he's known for his pressure and cardio and always in your face. I think that's going to be the key for him in this fight, but I like Rob Font striking. I think he's the more technical strike. I think he's going to pick apart Simone. I don't think he's going to finish Simone. I know Simone got finished by favors last fight. I just think he just kind of got caught there. I like Rob Font in this fight. I think he's going to win by decision.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. I think people maybe are going to write off Simone after the loss to Faber. I think he got caught. He obviously got caught. He got hit with a good punch. But the guy before that was extremely impressive, Cole. So I'm not ready to write him off just yet. I think he's still a good prospect. He's still young. He's only 27. So to me, he's still got a lot of potential. But I just hire a Rob Font. I know he's 30s. He's a little bit older. But I've just been really high on this guy. I think he's one of the more underrated guys in this division. The problem is he obviously doesn't fight a ton. This is his first fight all year, Cole. He's had problems getting fights. I think guys don't want to fight him because he's kind of low in the rankings, but he's super dangerous. So I can see why guys are ducking him. But this guy is a really good fighter. We've seen some of the power he possesses, the Thomas Almeida fight, Cole, the George Rube fight in his debut back in 2014. And then some nice wins over guys like Deion Drage and Matt Chanel. Those are good wins. So this guy is dangerous. I've been more impressed with Rob Font. Again, I wouldn't completely count Ricky Simon out of this fight. I do think he has a chance to pull off the upset, but my pick would be Rob Font. I do think he wins the decision here. Should be a good fight, though. Next up, another really good bantamweight fight between Cody Stamann and Yadong Song. Love this matchup, Cole. Yadong Song open minus 145. Stamann open plus 115. Right now we have Yadong Song minus 200. Stamann plus 170. Who's your pick?
I actually like the underdog Cody Stamann here. I think his experience, I think his cardio and his pressure is going to be a big difference in this one. Obviously, Yadong Song has that knockout power. We saw what he did against Alejandro Perez. He has a lot of knockouts on his record, but I just like Stamann's experience. I think he's going to be the more technical. I think he's the more technical striker. I think he can get in and out and pick apart Song. And I think once he gets to the later rounds, I think that's going to be telling for how good Yadong Song is. I think a lot of people are high on him because of his last performance. We haven't really seen him go against a top guy, go three rounds, which I think Stamann's going to do to him. So I think Stamann's going to win by decision here.
Great fight. Love this matchup. Cody Stamann's good. Don't get me wrong. He's really good. A few hiccups. One hiccup with Sterling, but otherwise he looked really good. I think he's a really solid fighter. He is 30, so he should be in his prime. I think he's solid. Don't get me wrong. I'm just super high on Yadong Song. I agree with you that he hasn't fought like the names that Cody Stamann's fought, but Cole, he's only 22 years old and he has 20 fights already, man. He's been fighting since he was like 16 years old. And this kid is just absolutely kicking ass. He's looked incredible in the UFC. Four straight wins. The win over Perez in his last fight is super impressive. The guy's super dangerous. Trains at Team Alpha Male. Uriah Faber says this kid's going to be the next champion. I mean, there's a lot of good fighters at 135 right now. I think this guy could potentially be a champ, though. I am not high on him. I do think he's going to win this fight. My picks are Dong Song. I think he can win either a decision or maybe stop Cody Stamann, because I know Stamann hasn't been finished, but Dong Song has got that like special fight-ending knockout power that can stop pretty much anyone. So that's my pick here, man. I do think the odds are a little bit high. I would have liked to see him a little bit lower. I think there's not as much respect shown to Stamann in the odds as there should be. But I do think Dong Song wins, so that's my pick here. Next up, we have another bantamweight belt, although this is a women's fight between Aspen Ladd and Yanin Kuniskawa. Right now, the opening odds had Ladd minus 165, Kuniskawa plus 135. Right now, we have Ladd minus one. I'm surprised by this one because Rafael dos Anjos is ranked, I think, five, and he's a good fighter, but he's not ranked. There were guys like Jeff Neal that were begging to get ranked fighters, Cole, and then Chiesa gets a number five guy. It's a good matchup, but isn't that kind of almost unfair to the guys that were just like trying their best to get these ranked guys, and then he gets a ranked opponent?
I think part of it is Chiesa was ranked at lightweight. I think he was ranked like 10 or 9, and he has good wins at welterweight, finished Carlos Condon, dominated Diego Sanchez. It's definitely an interesting fight because I don't know if Chiesa will be able to use his wrestling and his grappling, which is his biggest tool against RDA. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, RDA's looking it back in the win column after the Leon Edwards loss, but RDA's always at the top, so win will get him another top five guy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This fight was a head-scratcher. We talked about it a little bit last week on DMs. Derek Lewis against Ilia Latifi. Weird, right?
It's so stupid. Why does a guy ranked like five or four at heavyweight on a winning streak fight the number like 12 or 11 guy at light heavyweight who's coming off a loss to Corey Anderson, hasn't fought in over a year? Like, it makes no sense. The TV's not even a big name, so it's not even like it's like a light heavyweight moving up that's a big name. Like, I don't get it. There's so many fights for Lewis to have at heavyweight. You could have done the Ngannou rematch. There's like a bunch of fights. You could have given him like JDS. You could have given him someone like that, but they do Latifi. To me, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Just maybe last one here. Vinicius Moreira against Tyson Pedro. And you messaged me as soon as you saw this one. You're just like,
why is this guy still in the UFC? He's 0-3 with three stoppages, and he looked awful in all three fights. Like,
he's the guy they bring in to lose, man. He's being brought in. They're flying him down to New Zealand. They're going to give him his 8,000 to show or whatever, 10,000 to show, and he's going to be kicked out of the UFC. It's a terrible matchup for him. Actually, one quick one. I forgot this one. Love this fight, Cole. Sadiq Youssef against Andre Fili, man. Sick fight.
Yeah, that's a great fight. I'm really high on Sadiq Youssef. I think he'd be a real title. I think he'd be a title challenger, featherweight. Feely's a tough guy. He'd always had some losses, but his striking, he's always dangerous. Good camp at Team Alpha Male. It's definitely a good fight, and it's going to be – I think that could easily be fight of the night.
One other question from Marcus. Have you heard if the UFC is a backup fighter if Aldo can't make 135? If the UFC doesn't, what do you think happens with Aldo versus Marlon? I just don't see Aldo making 135. Well, first off, I do think he's going to make the weight. We've seen some pictures floating around. He looks really good. He looks lean. Aldo is a guy – I know he had struggled earlier, especially early in his career, UFC 129 when he fought in Toronto. There was that video in the bathtub, like shaking, trying to cut the weight. So he has struggled at times, but I feel like he's extremely motivated because he knows that one win, Cole, over Moraes, he gets a title shot against Henry Cejudo, in my opinion. Do they have a backup? I think Pedro Munhoz told James that he's going to be the backup for this card, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm sure Pedro...
The thing is, he's teammates with Munhoz, or he's teammates with Moraes, so it makes no sense. He wouldn't fight Moraes.
He's an American top team guy as well, which definitely throws a wrench in things. But Cole, you know what? If it's one of the situations where they have Munhoz in and they say, you got to fight Moraes, I think they probably would fight each other. You know, it's for money. They need to fight at some point. I know it's not for a title, but it could be for a title shot. The other thing about this card that's really interesting, I'm going to be in this card next week. I cannot wait. First time in Vegas, guys. I can't wait. It's going to be sick. The Peter Yan Faber fight, that's on the same card. They're both like back-to-back against each other. So I feel like Aldo probably has the inside track to get the title shot, Cole, against Cejudo if he wins. Like, Aldo and Cejudo are really going back and forth. Cejudo is calling himself the King of Rio now and stuff. Like, he's so cringe, but I love it. But just say Yan or even Faber. Just say Faber goes and knocks out Peter Yan. Or Yan knocks out Faber with like some spinning shit or something like that. Maybe they could jump in. So I think that the UFC actually set themselves up nice here with the two fights. But it is kind of weird that if Aldo misses weight, you'd have Munhoz fighting his teammate Moraes. I don't know if that would happen, but again, cool. Money talks. The UFC might pay them extra. I'm on t-shirt, but definitely a good point you brought up. Go ahead.
I just think they'd scratch the fight. This card's stacked enough. You can move up Neil Perry. You can move up Saunders Brown.
Why do they have a backup then? Why did they fly him in?
I don't think he is. Munoz said he's doing the backup himself. The UFC hasn't even told him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was. Oh, okay.
So that's why, I don't think it would happen. I think they just scratched the fight.
I thought the UFC had flown him in. I guess I was mistaken on that one, but it is what it is. Okay, that makes sense. I think they should always have backup opponents, but it's not a main event too. At the same time, so I can see why they win. Cole, is there anything you want to talk about, man? Anything that's not matchup related, just news? Like, there's obviously been a lot of news. I haven't had you on in 2 weeks. Anything you want to talk about, bud?
What do you think, Gaethje? He's coming out and saying he's waiting for the title shot. Do you think he gets the next title shot? Or do you think if you're Gaethje and you had the option, Tony Khabib winner or Conor, what do you take?
Gaethje's in a weird spot right now because he probably deserves a title shot, but obviously he has to wait, and he's gonna have to wait a while. Don't get me wrong, I love this Khabib and Tony fight. Why is it happening in April?
Yeah,
so long away. Like, they couldn't have booked in February or March. Why didn't they just book a double title fight in February with Jones and Reyes and then Khabib and Ferguson? You would have smashed probably records at pay-per-view. I know they want Khabib obviously main eventing, but still, it's kind of weird. Cool. Even March, I know, again, Adesanya probably wants to fight, but Khabib needs to fight more often, in my opinion, and just risk it. But as far as Gaethje goes, he deserves a title shot, Cole, right now, probably, the three straight wins. But I think he's just going to have to – I think he's going to wait around to see. I know you said that about Corey Anderson, and he obviously took a fight, but I think Gaethje's position, I think he'd be the perfect backup fighter for that. That card, we don't know for sure that fight's going to happen. Well, let's be honest here, man. It's been scratched four times.
If Gaethje takes a fight, do you know what would be a good one? Is do Poirier-Gaethje 2. That first fight was sweet.
I like the matchup. I think Gaethje doesn't want it because Poirier's coming off a loss, and he said that he doesn't want the fight. But at the same time, Cole, it'd be a great way to avenge a loss, and it'd be a fun fight for the fans. The first fight was sick, like you said, great fight, and I'd be interested in watching it. But I like Poirier. I think he's pretty cool. I like the fact he's doing these Q&As with fans on Twitter. It's really cool of him, but he needs to get a win, man. And I think Gaethje right now has just put himself in such a good spot that you can't risk fighting a guy coming off a loss. So that's the kind of way I look at it. I wouldn't mind that fight. I think the first fight was great, one of the best fights of 2018, but I can see why Gaethje wouldn't want that fight. Anything else you want to talk about, man, before we get out of here?
Just last thing, the Holm-Pennington fight.
Holm-Pennington, they rebooked this fight, obviously. It was supposed to happen in Australia at UFC 243. And it's happened before. We saw it at UFC 184 back in 2015. It was a terrible fight the first time around. I don't know, man. I guess I lean towards Pennington a little bit, but
yeah, I don't know why it's booked again.
I'm just not interested.
I think after it fell out with the rematch, I think you should have booked him separate ways. Winkleton told me Holm really wants Aspen Ladd because all the stuff Aspen Ladd talked about her after that fight got pulled out, so because she took the title shot instead. So I think that would have been a better fight, but I don't know. I'm just not interested in that rematch at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, and I guess before we get out of here, we should mention the Walt Harris, Nia Blanchard story, because that's obviously been a big story. So she was obviously found dead. We haven't talked about this since. Now the DA has come out. The medical examiner said that she was shot to death, and the DA said they're seeking the death penalty on this guy. We're not lawyers, so we can't speculate here, Cole, but if this guy's going to go be put in the chair or whatever. But just any thoughts on this and how it's affected the MMA community?
Yeah, it's just terrible. I don't know. You just take an innocent life for nothing. And it, the dumbest thing part of it is that guy was arrested and someone let him out because on bond. So if he was never allowed to go out on bond, this would have never happened. And I know the DA came out and said it was only him, but they arrested three suspects, which is kind of weird. So I don't know what the other two, maybe they were just helped him. They weren't part of the murder, but maybe they were helping him hide away or something, but it obviously sucks. Walt Harris posted a eulogy on his Instagram that was really heartfelt, but it's impacted the MMA community a lot. It's really nice to see Dana White, John Jones, Ali Abdelaziz step up for Walt and all these fighters show messages of support to Walt, because it's obviously a tragic time for his family.
Yeah, it was cool of those guys to obviously offer reward money. I don't know if anyone actually ever got that money because I think the police found her. I don't know if there was a tip involved in it or whatever, but they did find the body. It's really sad stuff. So we had to mention that because it's been a huge story in the world of MMA and MMA community, and it really affected this card, obviously. Just terrible spot for Walt Harris, man. Like, he loses his daughter, and he loses the biggest fight of his career. Obviously, it's not even close to losing a family member. That's way more important, but you know, he's been working hard towards getting a title shot on himself, Cole. And it's just like everything's been crashing down for him. So really tough spot for Walt Harris. But, you know, hopefully that, you know, this bad string of bad news has been in the past. Hopefully it's a big 2020. But, yeah, it's tough to move on after this kind of stuff. I think that's it for today, Cole. I can't talk anymore, man. Go ahead. Plug your stuff, bro.
Twitter at ColeShell91. This week I talked to Rosenstruck, Kunskaya on Via Japan. Just posted one on Wink John Michelle Watterson. I've Cody Saban, Rick Simone, MMA News. Everything else is on my Twitter.
Awesome. Check me on Twitter at MMMattaMartin right there at the bottom of the screen. I'm available at MMAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, MMArings.net. This podcast, MMA OB Daily Podcast with Adam Martin, available at YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and iTunes. So it's available everywhere. Cole, once again, thanks for tuning in or for joining me for the show. Thanks everyone for tuning in today's podcast. Did two shows today. My voice is completely done now. I gotta take a break, get some glass of water, relax for a bit, but I will be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the show. And once again, Cole, thanks for joining me today, man. UFC Washington DC this Saturday afternoon in Washington should be a great card. We'll see what happens there. Guys, I'll talk to you later. Have a good day. Bye.